Welcome into this Golf Channel podcast. I'm your host, Will Gray. Pleased today to be joined by Baseball Hall of Famer, World Series champion, AL MVP, Yvonne Pudge Rodriguez. Pudge, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
So you're in Orlando this week, a bit of a home game for us because you are going to be teeing it up this week in the Diamond Resorts Invitational. So before we get things started, I need a tail of the tape of Yvonne Rodriguez, the golfer. What's your handicap? How's your game feeling right now?
Well, right now I'm a 6 handicap. Okay. Still working. Obviously, yeah. It's a very tough game to play. Yeah. To keep the same swing, you know, for 18 holes. But I love the game. I think it's a very challenging sport, and that's what I love. I love to walk the course. I love to hit balls, you know, spend time with my friends in the golf course. So I'm enjoying the game a lot.
What's one shot in your game that you're working on right now that you need to see some improvement?
Well, to be honest with you, you have to work in everything. Yeah. Obviously, my driver is one of my worst enemies in the back, believe it or not. Trying to swing it too hard instead they get, you know, they just throw the hands and let the golf ball do everything else. But pretty much everything, you know, when you handicap 6, you have to work in every aspect of the game. So I work in everything.
Is it a similar feel for you in terms of trying to pull the ball to left center field versus?
Well, in golf, obviously, you know, it's a ball that's not moving. It's a ball right. I still prefer the one is coming 100 miles an hour, to be honest with you. But I think, you know, it's kind of pretty much the same, similar, than swing a ball. You know, the only thing in baseball is you have to stay inside out to hit the ball the other way. Mm-hmm. And if you do that in golf, you're going to go out of bounds.
You're going to
go
right.
But in golf, you know, you have to keep the same swing, like you're coming inside out. But at the end, when you get close to the golf ball, you have to, you know, the club, like hitting the ball, you know, over third base head. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that I'm working on. Sometimes I get a little lazy in my lower half. Yep. And that's what I'm working on right now.
Fair enough. So I got to tell you, I was talking with my producers before you were coming in, and we said, what can we talk to Pudge about? And we had to go back to the brawl. There are going to be some millennials that are listening to this, maybe some younger people that don't recall this, but it was August of 93, and you're a young catcher for the Texas Rangers, and Nolan Ryan pegs Robin Ventura. What is going through your mind as Robin Ventura runs full head of steam at your pitcher, and you're trying to chase him? The picture's
well,
great.
Well, first
you're
of all, I don't know why he did that. It was crazy just to be able to go to Nolan Ryan. You know, yeah. Nolan Ryan actually is a big man. You know, he's a 6'5", you know, 240. And, you know, bull rider also as well. You know, love to be with the bulls in his ranch. But I think when that happened, that was a hit waiting to happen. You know, Robin obviously he's a good friend, he's a great guy, good person. But I think if I remember the series before, something happened with him, and then Nolan got mad. And then when he got home, you know, Nolan, the first pitch, he just nailed it right here in his back. And the fighting start, you know, I was this 20-year-old guy running after Robin Ventura, and man, he got beat hard.
Well, the picture's great because he's in a headlock and he's getting it from Nolan Ryan. Yeah. You're sitting there bear hugging him, trying to hold on
for
dear life.
It was kind of scary for me because 48 hours earlier, I was getting hit by a bat in Kansas City.
Okay.
And hit my face. And I broke my cheekbone and I was having the surgery. I have a big bandage in my left side of my face. And I was, you know, worried that nobody, you know, hit me right there. But I was in the middle of the pack. But, I mean, I'm glad nothing happened. And the fight, you know, was for a couple of minutes and everything was the end.
Was there any on-field incident that in your career that you were a part of that ever was kind of on the same parallel as that? Or does that one kind of stick out?
Well, I've been in one fight with Torrey Hunter.
Okay.
In Anaheim when I was with the Yankees. I think that's probably the one that I can tell you that's the only one I have. I've been in a lot of, you know, team fights, you know, and doing baseball. But me personally starting it, just one with Torrey Hunter.
Well, I don't mean to date you here, but I was looking back. So that brawl with Robin Ventura and Nolan Ryan, I think it was about a week after Jordan Spieth was born. So that kind of puts that puts things into perspective. You get all these guys, you get him and Justin Thomas, these guys that are born in 93, and here you are, you're clinging to Robin Ventura for dear life. But with Spieth and Thomas, do you consider yourself a golf fan? Do you watch golf on TV?
I love golf, of course. I watch golf channels every day.
Appreciate that.
In the morning, that's my favorite channel to watch. Of course, I love to watch all these guys play. I've been in Jordan Spieth event in Dallas. Mm-hmm. He's been inviting me a couple of times. I have a chance to talk to him. He's a great kid, great guy, great person, and his family. I met his parents a couple of times. I got tremendous family. But I also, I love watching them play. It's amazing to see these guys hitting the golf ball. I just watching the show this morning and see Dustin Johnson hitting a golf ball 375 yards. That's unbelievable.
It's a good goal, right?
Unbelievable.
Any 16 handicap.
No, I don't think I'm going to get there. As long as I'm in the middle, I'm fine.
Where did you get in with golf? Because I know we've talked to some baseball players before that a lot of the pitchers especially, mm-hmm. they can play a little on the side on those days when they're not playing. But as a catcher, you're playing every day. You've got some different responsibilities. So when did you start playing?
I started really full on the game 6 years ago.
Okay.
When I was playing, I didn't have much time. I was playing every day. My job as a catcher is very difficult. You have to read a lot of reports, watching a lot of videos. So my day to work when I was a player, I show up to the ballpark at 1 o'clock. In the afternoon, just to start to reading every report so I can do my report for the pitcher. So about 6 years when I retired 6 years ago, I start to fall in love more in the game of golf and play more, and now I play 4 or 5 times a week.
So as we said, you played a big chunk of your career with the Texas Rangers. You're in the Hall of Fame as a Texas Ranger, but you also won a World Series down in Florida with the Marlins. In 2003, you got Josh Beckett, Miguel Cabrera. Mm-hmm. What stands out when you look back at that 2003 team and winning a World Series, and what was that playoff run?
Well, the way we start in spring training, I just got in. I was the only player to sign that year. Pretty much the whole team was there the year before. And that year before, they lost almost 100 games. And I got in, started working with the young pitching staff like Beckett, Penny, Jim Burnett, all those guys, and we get along very well. So that was a good thing about it. They understand me. I sit down with them every day, and teaching how to pitch. And today, Josh Beckett and I, we play a lot of golf, and that's one of the things that he say first. I learned so much from you, and you teach me how to pitch. You teach me how to pitch inside and use all the pitches and stay down. And that's what you get, that made me feel very happy when I hear that from pitches that I catch before. But we started back in that year in February. We have a great chemistry since day one in spring training, and we just started the season and have a really bad first half. We finished 10 games below 500 that year, and then the second half we just, for some reason, we take off. I think they fired Jeff Thorburn, and then they hired Jack McKeon, and when Jack take over, the team was different. The team was pretty close together, and we end up winning the Wild Card and win the World Series after that.
So Josh Beckett was here last year because he played in the Diamond Resorts Invitational. He came back through here and did a podcast sitting in that chair. When you guys play, you get a little friendly wager. Who's going to get the better of it between you and Josh if you're on the golf course?
I think Josh is a very good golfer. Yeah. He plays good. He hits the ball long. I personally have fun. I mean, I'm never get mad in golf because what are you going to get mad? Mm-hmm. But I love, I love the challenge. I think probably. What you're going to see probably this weekend, you might probably going to see Mark Mulder, Eric Gagne, and Judge Beckett probably there on Sunday. So, but I think, I have fun seeing them, playing with them, and I will do my best and try to keep my driver in the middle and see what happens.
So on that 0-3, in that 0-3 playoff run, the division series against the Giants, the last out of the final game was you blocking at the, making the out at the plate. What are your thoughts now on the new rule, the rule change? How would it affect you as a catcher when you can't block the plate now?
Well, to be honest with you, you have to respect, you know, the new era in baseball. You know, that was another era that we played, right? You know, we played more physical, hard, you know, try to break a double play. In second base, you do it hard. You cannot do that today. Home plate, you have the catcher needs to be in front of the plate, cannot block the plate. But to me, I would like to see baseball go back the way it was before.
Yeah.
I think that's to me my only opinion. I respect the commissioner of baseball making those decisions. That's what technology is all about, to use it, right? So they're using a lot of technology today in baseball. But if I will play again, I would love to see baseball the way it was before.
So this week at the Diamond Resorts Invitational, it's going to be your first appearance. We're keeping score now. We got modified Stableford. Your name's going to be on the leaderboard. You got gallery, rope line. How's that going to affect you?
It's going to be fun. I mean, it's going to be great. I've been in the one in Tahoe, the Century in Tahoe, and it's fun too. It's a lot of people too. It's a fun atmosphere. And again, I'm just going to take it the same way. I mean, this is going to be a tournament that I'm going to see PGA players play, the LPGA plays, and it's going to be fun to watch them hit the ball. Yeah. But at the same time, it's going to be for a good cause, you know, for a children's hospital here in Orlando, and that's all they matter, just be able to be here and contribute and just be part of this great event. And I'm so happy that they called me this year and be here for the first time, so I'm looking forward for the weekend.
So the Hall of Fame plaque for you in Cooperstown, the paint might not be dry yet because you just got in. You were inducted this past summer. What was it like to get that phone call to know that you were in the Hall of Fame on your first ballot?
That's amazing. I mean, that's a dream come true. That's one of the calls that you always wanted to hear at the end of your career. And it was, I cry, obviously. To be honest with you, when I was with my family in Dallas waiting for the call, and there was the phone rings at 10 minutes before we going on live, and I got the call. So it's just a great moment just to be there, just to be able to be in that, in the stage, with all the Hall of Famers behind me and be part of that family now for the rest of my life is amazing.
So this is an audio podcast, but for those that are listening and not watching, you've got your Pudge 7 hat on. For the foundation, I know you're from Puerto Rico. You're very proud to be a Puerto Rican. That's an island that is struggling right now in the aftermath of Hurricane Maria. What's the status? What are your relief efforts like?
We're getting better every day. Yeah. Obviously, it's a lot of work. We're still more than 60% of the people without power in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a long time. They're working 24/7. Especially in that area, to try to bring the electricity back to everybody in Puerto Rico. I've been in Puerto Rico four times, helping everybody there, especially in the center of the island. You know, bringing food and water to them. And now my job now I'm gonna do is I'm gonna fix a lot of people's home. You know, I got a great group of guys that partnered with me together, and we're gonna go to Puerto Rico and helping the people, fixing the roof, and bringing the people from close to being, close to the dangerous area out of there, especially, rivers and lakes, just take them out of there and put it in the safer areas. And that's the job that we're going to do. But again, it's going to take a while. Mm-hmm. It's not easy when you have a storm that goes through at 3 mile an hour. 160, 180 miles an hour for 12 hours. That's pretty bad, and we went through it.
Yeah, it's still something that the work continues, as you said.
Yeah, absolutely.
So going back to your playing days, what's one pitcher that you did not like to face until?
Well, they're all difficult. I mean, never.
None of them are listening. You can just pretend that none of them are listening.
No, I mean, I respect all of them. I mean, that's what they're major league pitchers.
Yep.
You know, when you're in the big leagues, because you're a great player. You're not a mediocre player. Yeah. You are a good player. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you play in last place team or first place team. You know, you cannot take anything for granted. They are good. David Cohn to me, it was a very difficult pitcher for me to hit, especially the way his different ways to throw the ball.
Yeah.
You know, he can throw over the top, you know, side, three quarters, you know, underneath, things like that. But they're all difficult. I mean, when you see 90, 95, 98 plus mile fastball every day, and then besides that, the curve, the slider, and the changeup, and you don't know what pitch is gonna come, it's very difficult to hit.
We talked about the fact that you were on behind the plate for that Nolan Ryan brawl situation, but you're also, on a positive note, you caught Kenny Rogers' perfect game in 1994 for the Rangers. What was that like to be behind the plate for that moment, but also I got to think that the pressure is ratcheting up. Seventh, eighth, ninth inning. Everyone knows, right? No one's talking to him, but everyone knows.
Well, you know, it's, believe it or not, Kenny and I didn't know that we having a non-hitter into the sixth inning of that day. And pretty much when non-hitting happens, sometimes you don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The fans letting you know what's going on. Then when you see the scoreboard, oh, it's no runs, it's no hits. Is a non-hitter going on. I'll tell you a story about that day with Kenny.
Yeah.
When he comes to warm up in the outfield and the bullpen, I always warm up every pitcher. And we start playing catch, and then when he starts to throw in on the bullpen to warm up, he cannot throw any pitch for strikes. I mean, everything was all over the place. Fastballs all over the place, curveballs in the dirt. And he just shut down the warming sections. And I came and talked to him. We're walking down to the bench, and he said, "I'm not feeling good. I'm sore all over. I want you to help me and stay with me." And I said, "Okay, let's do our best." And the first pitcher he threw a fastball at 95 right in the black outside of the plate. He didn't throw anyone in for strike in the bullpen. So after that first pitch that he threw at 94 right there outside down for strike, I knew that he's going to be fine. And you just, you know, we just started working. You saw his pitches, the change of the sink, the fastball in. The guy's making a great play in the outfield, Rusty Greer. He was the center fielder at the time. He making some tremendous plays. Diving to the right, diving to the left, and making great plays. And when you see a pitcher throwing a non-hitter, that's what you see a lot. You know, the infielders, you know, start to play the game different, more into the game. And it was a fun day. And that's the only, I got two non-hitters, Kenny's perfect game and Justin Verlander's non-hitter in Detroit. But this one to me is the best, because he's no walk, no hits. Is a perfect
game.
Nobody touched first base.
It's just like the golf, right? If you have a bad practice session, sometimes you go to the first tee, you hit that first drive down the middle.
Absolutely.
And
it's always nice to see when no one touched first base.
All right, I'll get you out with this last one. Your former teammate, Rafael Palmeiro, age 53, reports are he's considering a comeback. Are we going to see Ivan Rodriguez making
a
comeback?
No, at all. No,
we're done.
No, no, no.
You're
no.
sticking to the golf.
Absolutely. I got some invitations this I think probably it's going to be the same one that Raf is going to play.
Oh, yeah?
But no. Okay. I 25 years enough. 21 years in the big league is enough. I always said that, you know, I'm glad. And, I mean, I will thank Jesus for giving me all this help to play baseball and never get hit in the face. So imagine now playing baseball and, you know, the reflex act not going to be the same and it's not going to be the same shape and... No, I stay in golf.
Enough.
I stay
Fair
in
enough.
Golf.
Well, Ivan Rodriguez, thank you very much for joining us. Good luck this
thank
week
you.
At the Diamond Resorts Invitational. Hit them straight.
Thank you.
Rack up those modified Stableford points. Thank you again for joining us. This has been a Golf Channel podcast. I'm your host, Will Gray. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.